This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
You're talking about prisoners of war being attacked by a man who is a draft dodger. You're talking about John McCain, who hung by his thumbs and was tortured by the Vietnamese for 5 years. You're talking about a guy who's trying to be commander
in chief. We're talking about Donald
that
Trump
means
has
being
more
commander
than 2-1
support. People who are going to serve, much like John McCain did, and who are going to risk their lives for the freedom of this country and for peace around the world, something that Donald Trump was never able to do. So yes, he should apologize.
Well, this was Anna Navarro and her comments. I believe it was on CNN. And, of course, a little bit of her background. You can understand where she's coming from. She was born in Nicaragua in 1980 as a result of the Sandinista Revolution. She and her family immigrated to the United States. She graduated from the University of Miami, and she served as national co-chair of John McCain's Hispanic Advisory Council, was a national surrogate for the McCain 2008 campaign. You know, Scott, we talked about this, that Donald Trump, if he's negligent of anything, and that is building bridges into some key areas, and he needs to make Anna Navarro an ally of the campaign, a sharp lady, and I understand where she's coming from, and it's harsh. I mean, and that's what happens during this political season. Just as Donald Trump can be indelicate with some of his words, you know, she laid it right between you know, his eye sockets and saying, you know, he was a draft dodger. Well, that's extreme. He didn't necessarily, you know, dodge the draft, you know. So just like some of these things about Donald Trump, because he speaks in headlines. He puts the headlines out there. The media gravitates to him. I mean, look what happened. It's estimated that he got something like $2 billion in headlines. Okay, well, you've got everybody's attention. Now let's figure out how to build bridges into them so that you are recognized more as a friend than a foe. And the Hispanics, he's going to need Hispanics. You know, there are some that are, you know, coming to his side and understanding where he's coming from, because the Hispanic community has been greatly affected by the policies of this current Democratic administration. I mean, look at Hispanic unemployment, you know, double digit. The youth is, I think, about 25% Hispanics unemployment right now. It's a disaster. And so if they think, by staying the same course with one Hillary Clinton, that that's where they need to be, well, then you've got more unemployment in your future, don't you say?
Definitely. Very much so. I think that, one, I feel like if they sit down, they'd probably realize that they have more in common with one another than they think, because he's come out and said that he thinks the VA is horrible and that it needs to be changed, and that, you know, they need to be taken better care of.
This whole thing, I mean, you know, when he talked about, of course, this is all taken, and I really believe this to be the case, not that I've spoken with Donald Trump directly, but I heard what he said in terms of, you know, we're not getting the best of the best coming into this country. This is why we have an immigration policy. We have immigration law, supposedly, that this administration seems to just want to throw out the door and let our borders come down. But again, you know, this is what we've been talking about this week. This has kind of been the order of the day. You've got a globalistic perspective, which Hillary and President Obama believe in, and others before them, which says that we shouldn't have any borders. I mean, John Kerry even flat out said, "Hey, we shouldn't have any borders." Are you kidding me?
The immigration thing—they run that the same way that they run this bathroom thing. If I ask a question that is a question to find out an answer, and it kind of opposes theirs, I become a transsexual homophobe, or whatever.
Right.
Transphobic. So immigration, if I start questioning things like, well, why don't we have a better immigration policy, they try and make it sound like I'm against people coming to this country. And that's not the case. You know, the bathroom thing, if it doesn't matter, if people don't care what bathroom people use, then why is there a men's and women's bathroom? Why would
exactly.
there be bathrooms?
Yes, exactly. You're right on, right there. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay right where you are, America. We've got more coming up right here on Bill Martinez.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, see what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, we're giving away the movie Risen that was digitally released this week. And then come May the 24th, it'll be available on DVD, Blu-ray. And but it's available here to you now through Bill Martinez Live. All you got to do is send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. Tell me, say, hey, Martinez, put me in the running for that free movie. Risen, I like it. I want to get it as part of my library. I want to share it with my family, my friends, and get it out there. And, hey, we'll put you in the running, and we've got some DVDs to give away. Love for you to have one. So bill@billmartinezlive.com, that easy. Victor Davis Hanson is with us right now. He's the Martinelli Anderson Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institution. He's a classicist and an expert on the history of war, syndicated Tribune Media Services columnist, and a regular contributor to Pajamas Media, National Review Online, because he's just not busy enough. Victor, I think we got to do something about it. I think, you know, you're starting to be almost unemployed here. You know, what's going on?
Well, thank you for having me on.
Hey, always good to have you here and your needed perspective. Boy, I'll tell you, these, you know, these protesters, as you cite in your article, are doing a Fonzie jump the shark deal because it's like, you know, I mean, is it come down to that kind of desperation?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if somebody offers them at Brown University $100 million and they say that's insufficient, or if they come out of the CSU campus or something and try to disrupt a Trump rally, and then they wave the flag of the country they don't want to go back to, and they insult the country that under every circumstance they want to stay in, or they say make America Mexico again when they left Mexico, yeah. And if America were to be like Mexico, I suppose they would want to leave America.
Right.
So they're starting to become incoherent, and you can see that with the whole microaggression and safe space. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The word micro means that it really isn't an aggression, or you wouldn't have to put micro in front of it.
Exactly.
And safe space is sort of segregation, and they have to use the word safe rather than excluded space or segregated space. So it's, I don't know, I think it's, we're all torn about what to think of students. And in some sense, they have a collective $1 trillion debt, but on the other, they have nice cars, they have cell phones, they live at home, and they say they're liberal, but they want speech codes, they want to suspend the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the 14th Amendment, Fifth Amendment on due process. So in some ways, they're not an admirable bunch of kids. I think what we need to do with all these campus protests is just simply say, you know what, when you go into college, you got to take an entrance exam. When you leave to be certified with a BA, you're going to have to take an exit exam. And I think that would cause a lot of changes. And then we'd see a lot of these courses, media studies, Chicano studies, women's studies, environmental, anything with studies in, I think would kind of drift away.
Well, you got to hold academia more accountable, certainly. I mean, they've indoctrinated our kids. You know, you send them off to college, you spend all this money for their education, and you come back and you go, what happened to you? I thought you were supposed to be smarter. Yeah. If my grandfather was around, you know, he'd have very succinct words, you know, to say about this kind of craziness, because at every turn, there's just outlandish behavior and things out there. It's like, wait a minute, did you just hear what you say? I mean, you know, to your point, I was at a Manat concert in Anaheim, California, this several years back. And, of course, big Hispanic rock group and the whole deal. And they were talking from stage about how they had a vision about California being part of Mexico again. And all these people, you know, waving the Mexican flag and everything, just, you know, in adulation of Maná and this vision and everything that they wanted to bring California back. And, you know, same thing. It's like, wait a minute, you left Mexico because of all the corruption, everything going on, and you want California to be like, I would think you'd want Mexico to be like California. If anything, maybe California should take over Mexico and help the people out there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I live in a town that is about 90% Mexican-American or Mexican nationals, and mm-hmm. they just removed an old fountain, Women Christian Temperance Union, mm-hmm. and put an Aztec totem for the goddess of the moon. That's fine. Everybody has to have cultural expression, but they didn't need to chisel on the top Viva La Raza, because, you know, you can imagine every ethnic group who wants to have an Italian or a Swedish or whatever theme about their founding, and they put Long Live the Race. I mean, nobody
yes, right.
wouldn't work. We'd be like we were in Yugoslavia. And Raza, of course, is a word that was reintroduced to the 60s vocabulary on analogy of Franco Spain, where he used it in the same way that Raza and under Mussolini meant a racial essence, that you couldn't just be Spanish or Italian because you spoke the language or you lived there. You had to have a particular race, and that's what mm-hmm. Raza means in Spanish.
Exactly.
Pueblo or gente. So it's a racist term, and they get away with it. So I think when we look at all these protests, we see, you know, it's not the society they're protesting against. Most of the people are upper middle class, affluent. Somebody shouts down a teacher at Yale or the Harvard Law School will have another psychodrama. It's something about power. It really is. In the University of Missouri, when the guy went on a hunger strike and his dad made $8 million a year, and now he brags that it was all kind of a ruse. It's about power. These students are young. They don't know much about the world. They do get the impression that their professors tell them, if you go occupy an office or scream and yell, there'll be more of people like me on campus. And so administrators are terrified, and they have a pretty good job, and they think, you know what, when I get up in the morning, I just don't want to get into one of these situations, so I'm going to tap my slush fund at Harvard or Brown or Yale or Stanford and buy these kids off and their professors, and that's what's happening.
Well, we were talking about this earlier with Megan Barth, Victor, that, you know, these kids, this side of understanding really the facts and the truth of the matter, you know, they're duped. I mean, and guess what? We've been guilty ourselves. I mean, this is all part of growing up and the maturation process. And it takes getting burned several times to realize that, hey, look, maybe I need to study up on this a little bit more. Now, here, having been one, you know, 60s child going through all the revolution and everything else that was coming, you know, was coming down here in the United States, you know, we had to learn the hard way. We found ourselves at times following the wrong people because we thought, hey, that makes sense. And then you find out later, you know, the levers that were being pulled on this particular interest, and you go, wow, I need to be smarter next time. So here we are in the information age we live in today. There really is no excuse. But these kids, unfortunately, they're on the college campuses being indoctrinated by these professors, as you just cited. This is disgusting. But as long as we allow, in the name of free speech, for these professors to, to say and indoctrinate and hold a grade over these kids, they're going to follow the line. And then, you know, on campuses, some are just saying, look, we don't want a conservative voice. They invite, disinvite people with a conservative perspective because it's the wrong gospel, wrong church.
Well, I mean, ultimately everything revolves around money. So if you said to these kids, you're very privileged and you're in a tax-exempt university that has, in the case of Harvard, $35 billion, Stanford, $19 billion. And after the first billion, we're going to start taxing it. The local community can't afford that tax loss. And then they wouldn't have the money to give $100 million to a diversity coordinator program. And then the students would really pay the tuition. It's being subsidized by the taxpayer. Or you said to the student, You better take a course that matters because you're going to take a national exit test. Or we told alumni, here's a national rating system of constitutional protected freedom on a particular campus. Before you give any money, you better look at the university, how it rates. And if we had some accountability with the donations and the tax.
I agree. Great idea. Well, Victor Davis Hanson, Martin and Ellie Anderson, Senior Fellow at the Hoover Institute, an expert on the history of war and a syndicated columnist. Thank you, Victor.
This report is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps fuel open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one makes powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You know, we've seen these crazy diets to lose weight, right? You know, some of us have tried many of them. Well, at Bill Martinez Live, our healthy body weight loss system simply saturates the body with nutrition, bringing down cravings. It's been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Sweating during a good workout at the gym is a release of all 90 essential nutrients, leading to a further deficiency, causing an even greater craving for carbs, sugars, and fats. Diet and exercise cannot curb appetite, like saturation of mineral vitamins, amino acids, and essential fatty acids. Stop the weight gain cycle and lose weight the easy way with properly blended, specifically targeted nutrition. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Longevity, or call 855-305-8326. Fighting cravings is a losing fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, that's 855-305-8326. 855-305-8326.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You gotta change, change, change. Like you change, change, change. Brand new looks, no good on you. So shame that you've been changed.
Welcome.
Back America, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. NSA approved, by the way, I will add. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. You know, in spite of national socialism murdering some tens of millions and starving 100 million in the last century, one in three young voters, and we're saying here in the United States, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about some third world country, one in three young voters say they support socialism. One in six identify as a socialist. This, according to a new Harvard IOP poll. And here to break it down for us, Dr. Jay Richards, who is an economics professor at Catholic University. Dr. Richards, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be with you.
Okay, so break it down. This is something, as you and I were chuckling about a moment ago, Debbie Wasserman Schultz couldn't answer what a socialist was. Hillary Clinton asked the same question by Chris Matthews, the softballer of softballers,
right,
when it comes to the Democrats. I think he feels a chill up his leg no matter what, as long as he's got a Democrat in the House. Ask her this easy question, and you're going, wait a minute, you guys didn't think this question was going to be asked again when Debbie couldn't answer it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the two leading contenders for the Democratic nomination for the President of the United States has self-identified for decades as a Democratic Socialist. This is Bernie Sanders, of course. He famously had his honeymoon, actually, in the Soviet Union. No one else knows what to do about this. This Harvard IOP poll is concerning because they use the word socialist. They ask millennials, 18 to 29-year-olds, okay, what do they think about it? And it's very concerning. One in three support socialism. One in six actually claim to be socialist. But if you look up the word in the dictionary, it's something like an economic system in which the state, that is the government, owns the means of production. That is, they own the factories, they own the companies. In its most extreme form, there's no private property. The government owns everything. And you've got these young kids, most of them have passed through college since 2008, saying, yeah, we think that's a really good idea. But if you dig into it a little more, in my piece at the stream, at stream.org, I argue that, in fact, most of these kids answering these polls have no idea what they're saying. I'm absolutely convinced if you open Merriam-Webster's, give them the textbook definition of socialism, the government owning everything, you say, no, that's not really what I want. I want free health care and free college tuition, something like that.
Exactly. Well, not only the kids, but I would dare say the politicians. It would seem to me that socialism is antithetical to what our U.S. Constitution stands for, or am I missing something here?
It's exactly the opposite. I mean, the American tradition, the American experiment, was founded on the idea of private property, individual rights, self-determination, limited government. All those things have to go out the window with socialism. You can't have people, first of all, you're not going to be able to maintain political freedom for very long. Certainly not going to have economic freedom in a really sort of strictly socialist country. The state tells you what you're going to do, how much you're going to make, what the quotas are going to be for your factory. All these things that we think of as the beauty of the American experiment have to go out the door. And so that's why very few American politicians ever self-identified just as socialist. I think that's the charm of the term democratic socialist. When people hear that, I think they say, okay, so that's free health care and brotherhood of man without the gulags and the gray suits or something like that.
Yeah, here we are. Now we're back to where we were about 8 years ago when we had a politician saying something and everybody had their own idea of what he was saying. But what he said was exactly what he meant, that he was going to transform America. How do you like me now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's strange about it. If you'd asked me in 2008 when the president started his first four-year term, he'd say, okay, if you keep this up for 8 years, people will have been sick of it. Well, if anything, the pendulum will swing in the other direction. There's a segment of the population doing that. What's sort of stunning, though, is how many people, including especially young voters, have actually swung the other way. I'm convinced it's partly the result of what's been happening in colleges and partly the result of the financial crisis in 2008, which was falsely blamed on unfettered capitalism. And so, unfortunately, I think we're still languishing under that illusion.
Well, you love government. They're the ones that create the problem. Then they come on the other side of the fence and say, hey, we'll save you. Because those guys over there were the ones that messed it up. And those
that's
are the
right.
very guys that they unleashed on us, right?
Yes. I mean, that's the charm of what we might call cronyism. Straight socialism, if the government literally owns everything, we know who to blame. That's why the Solidarity Movement in Poland, it was a labor union, actually fought against the communist government. In the United States, what we have is radical regulation so that the government behind the scenes controls more and more of private industry. But whatever happens in the private sector, the government can blame the private sector and increase its own power. I think that's the sort of charm of the type of soft socialism that's developing in this country.
Well, as you say, it has been progressive, and as progressives do, it's a micro inch at a time. Before you know it, they're controlling everything. It shouldn't be a big surprise for us. Democratic socialists have been listed. I mean, they've been out of the closet for a long time. I think I saw a list here last year of 70 legislators. You know, their names were on it. There was no problem like saying, wait a minute, what am I doing on this list? You know, I don't belong there. I mean, they are self-determined. They are self-identified as democratic socialists. Again, antithetical to the U.S. Constitution, in which they swore to uphold.
Absolutely, and that's what's sort of strange about Bernie Sanders. It's not like he wasn't even actually in the Democratic Party, and I honestly think, I don't think the DNC, I don't think Debbie Wasserman Schultz anticipated first his getting into the race and then the popularity that he has, but I do think he has something that Hillary Clinton doesn't. I mean, everybody knows, okay, Hillary maybe ideologically is a progressive, but she is an uber crony capitalist. I mean, right. She's perfectly happy to lambaste Wall Street, but also to get paid off by them at the same time. What Bernie Sanders has is, okay, yeah, he's kind of a crazy guy politically. He's way to the left. He is basically a democratic socialist, but he's authentic. He kind of says what he actually thinks. And so for a certain segment of that population that's not thinking clearly about economics, I think they prefer that authenticity to the cynicism they see in Hillary Clinton. I think that's his charm. It's just frightening that here in 2016, after a century of evidence for what socialism actually does in the real world, you'll still have a majority of voters under 29 supporting Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side of the ticket. I think that's just frightening.
Yeah, well, it's more than frightening. I mean, it's like I cannot connect with their world whatsoever. And speaking of Hillary Clinton, you got to love her response when asked why she accepted, what was it, $357,000 from Goldman Sachs for a speech. She says, because that's what they offered.
Which would be fine if she actually knew what she was saying and we didn't actually think she was playing both sides of the fence, unfortunately. I mean, sure, if you're a popular speaker. The problem is that her only claim to fame is that she was married to a president of the United States and was able to acquire power as a result of that. The actual political offices she held, we know so far as if you want to evaluate her as Secretary of State, she's clearly incompetent, and now she's the leader at the moment. And so I think, you know, frankly, it's a bit of a depressing situation we're here in, right before the summer of an election year.
Well, it was rather ironic that she challenged one Barack Obama back then to say, would he be there to answer the 3 o'clock in the morning phone call? She got one with Benghazi, and what did you get, a busy tone or something?
Honestly, or she put him on hold for several hours. It's still the most bizarre thing in the world. I don't think we've seen the last of it. I still, frankly, think it's quite possible that she'll be so hobbled that this is my conspiracy theory, is that she ends up having to drop out and Joe Biden slips in with Elizabeth Warren, and then we've really got something to worry about, because I think he's a much more pleasant figure than Hillary Clinton.
Exactly. There's no question this is going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens here. It definitely gives us plenty to talk about, Dr. Richards, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
So here it is, you know, on top of that, you ask her staff, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton's staff, name me two things that she accomplished as Secretary of State, and you just hear crickets.
You do. They need to get their elevator speech down on that. Maybe it's just, well, being the second female Secretary of State or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly. But, you know, it's just, and you think the question comes up enough that you'd be able to come up with something, even when she was a senator. Okay, what did she do in New York as a senator? And what did she do, you know, as the first lady? And, you know, behind her, unfortunately, are all these scandals. And this is one of the main reasons that she's off my long list and even my short list, because I sit there and go, there's just too much between her and Bill, and now let's bring him back to the White House one more time.
Oh, my word. Yeah, it really is a disaster. And, of course, the problem is that the other scandal, the email, or really the server scandal, still hasn't fully been resolved. So, frankly, if I were a Democrat, I might think, okay, I think Donald Trump is going to be, in other circumstances, might be easy to beat. But Hillary is such an abysmal candidate that I honestly think she could very well likely lose.
Without a doubt. Dr. Jay Richards, economics professor at Catholic University. Jay, thank you so much for being with us.
I grew up in a family with 9 kids. I must have been the fastest eater because I was the only one that was chubby. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. When I was growing up, almost no one was overweight. I have maintained my weight pretty well since then. As I get older, the 10 Tuna Chew weight loss system is making it much easier to control my weight. It curbs my appetite, gives me energy, and even improves my mood. Maybe 10 Tuna Chew could help you. Go to ilikethewayilook.com and check it out for yourself. That's ilikethewayilook.com.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Santana, huh? 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I am Bill Martinez. Bill Still is with us right now, former newspaper editor, publisher, best-selling author, award-winning documentary writer, director, written for USA Today, Saturday Evening Post, Los Angeles Times Syndicate, Omni Magazine, and produced syndicated radio programs such as Health News. Bill Still, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Oh, pretty well.
Hey, thank you for coming on. I want to talk about the Money Masters. This is quite a study, and for those that have not been exposed to the DVD, I would say you need to run, get your hands on the DVD. Do not pass go, collect $200. Make sure you get your eyeballs in front of this. This is quite enlightening. The Money Masters, how international bankers gain control of America, the secret of Oz. Bill, tell us about this very enlightening DVD series or documentary.
Well, the Money Masters I produced in 1996, so, how long ago was that? That was over 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago,
actually, two months ago.
Yeah, wow.
Then The Secret of Oz I produced in 2010. It won Best Documentary of 2010 at the Beloit International Film Festival, and then subsequently in 2013 I released one called Jekyll Island. So those are the three feature-length documentaries I've done on monetary reform and the economics of macroeconomics in general.
Well, on Money Masters, you started, you took us back with some history, and you know, really exposed how the Federal Reserve System came about back in 1913, which to this day people scratch their head and say, wait a minute, how do we have somebody outside of the people's vote in control of our monetary system?
Yeah, that's a big problem. You know, if you go and ask the average person on the street who creates the money in the country, they'll think it's a trick question. But if forced to answer, they'll say, well, the government. They say that because they know intuitively that is the most important responsibility of a sovereign, is to create the money and control its quantity. But that's not the way it's happened. That's not the way it's going on right now. It has been that way at times in American history, and America is really the only nation that's ever really fought this debt money system successfully. The two different types of money are basically state money and debt money, and right now we're in a debt money world, and it's swung out to its maximum extent possible, and it's going to destroy the economy of every nation on this planet until or unless we're able to swing it back to where it should be, a more state money world. Right now, every dollar in your pocket is not created by the state. It's created as an interest-bearing debt by banks making loans. That's not the way it should be, but that's the way it is right now. The only form of money, of U.S. money, that is not part of this debt money system created by banks are the coins in your pocket. Those are still literally created by the U.S. government at no interest. Mm-hmm. But all the rest of the money is created as an interest-bearing debt. And so that gives the banks a tremendous advantage. Number one, they get the seniorage from that money. Seniorage means the profit from making money. Mm-hmm. Like every time they lend out $100, then, you know, that's an extra new, fresh $100 going into the economy. Well, even if they printed a note, it would only cost them 3 cents, but it cost them literally nothing to create that money. Mm-hmm. And that gives them tremendous power to, number one, be sure that there are no laws made in Congress that prevents them, this little game they've got going on, from perpetuating on into infinity.
Right.
And number two, it prevents the major media from, you know, raising a red flag and saying, wait a minute, this isn't right.
Right. Well, Rand Paul tried to raise a flag on it, and President Obama was pretty quick to fire a shell over the bow of his boat, pretty much just saying, you don't want to go there. And then we didn't hear a whole lot after that.
I've never noticed that. What did Rand Paul say?
Well, Rand Paul said that we need to take a look at our involvement with the Federal Reserve. He brought it up. This was early on in the campaign for 2016. And, of course, a lot of the young kids, everybody listened up. And those of us that have been concerned about the Federal Reserve for a long time, we don't understand it. It still remains a mystery, you know. And but it was like, okay, we need to pull back the curtain on the Federal Reserve, basically, and expose it for what it is, and that it really is not in America's best interest. And then President Obama wasted no time in letting him know that he just didn't want to go there. And the way in which he said it was quite, I thought it was quite haunting.
Well, let me give you a good example of some of the misinformation that goes on about the Fed. When I was getting ready to release the Money Masters, I'd been a reporter for a long time. I knew how to talk to professors at universities. Mm-hmm. And you don't call the professor. You call the university press office and say, hey, I've got this documentary, and I would like to have Milton Friedman take a look at it. He was a professor at Stanford University then. And so the press office goes, yeah, okay, great. We'll put you in touch with him. A day later, ring, ring, and it's Milton Friedman on the phone. And I explained what I had. And he said, okay. He was very gracious. He said, yeah, FedEx it to me, and I'll look at it over the weekend. So on Monday morning comes, ring, ring. I'm in the editing booth, still doing more editing on the film, and it's Milton Friedman. I'll never forget the first words out of his mouth. He goes, boy, if you end the Fed and do nothing about fractional reserve lending, you've done nothing. And that completely shook up my world, because I was just like the Rand Pauls of this world, you know, saying, yes, end the Fed and then our problems will be solved. If you ended the Fed tomorrow, nothing would change.
Mm-hmm.
Would the banks stop making mortgage loans that day? No. That's the problem. The mm-hmm. Fed is just like the curtain in The Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
hiding the real problem. The real problem is that banks get to create all of our money as interest-bearing debts. It's the Fed is just there to make a pretend, yeah, we're watching these banks for the interest of the American citizens. You know, we're keeping it all under control. When the banks don't care about the Fed,
right,
it's just a pretense. In the 2007-2008 crash, during a congressional committee investigations, the Fed was supposed to be holding the banks to their reserve ratio requirement, which is about 10%. Well, we discovered then, the committee discovered then, that the big banks like J.P. Morgan and Citi were leveraged instead of 10 to 1, 52 to 1. The Freddie and Fannie, instead of being leveraged 10 to 1, were leveraged 80 to 1. And
wow.
Goldman Sachs, instead of being leveraged 10 to 1, was leveraged 333 to 1. So basically, they do whatever they want. And if ever something happens, so the government regulators come down on them and say, oh, you were bad boys, we're going to impose a hellacious fine on you. We're going to impose a $4 billion fine. Well, that's probably the amount of money they profit from this system for about 4 minutes worth of
exactly.
Yeah,
this
profit.
Comes out,
so,
that
mean,
comes out of their penny loafers. Yeah, exactly.
It's like nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you have to understand, it's not the Fed. We have to get away from this focus on the Fed. It's the banks and their ability to create money out of nothing. And not only do they get the profit from making money, but they get to control the economy by controlling the quantity. It's not what backs the money that's important in this system. It's who controls the quantity. And if you look at the Constitution, it's very clear. There's only one entity given that power, and that's the Congress of the United States.
And when we come back, I want to ask you why Congress gave it up and why we're in the mess that we're in now as we look back at the Fed and this fractional lending that has been it really imposed on us, America, and this has much more implication than you realize as we try to pull back the curtain on the Wizard of Oz of banking and our money system here in America. It's 19 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more coming up. Stay with us. Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we don't diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, Bill Martinez Live is offering Clemson University's study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 855-305-8326.
This report is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. With the arrival of spring, we've officially entered the start of prom and graduation season. This is an exciting and monumental time in a teen's life. It's also an ideal time for parents to talk to their teenagers about underage drinking so that they have a safe and memorable experience. This year, Anheuser-Busch has partnered with world-renowned comedy theater enterprise, The Second City, to create a series of short and relatable videos to encourage parents to talk with their teenagers about drinking and making responsible choices, specifically around prom and graduation season. According to the GFK Roper Youth Report, parents are the number one influence when it comes to their children's decisions on whether or not to drink alcohol underage. Katia Zastro, Vice President of Corporate Social Responsibility, Better World for Anheuser-Busch.
Our number one goal is to arm parents with educational information and content that helps fuel open and honest conversations with their children about underage drinking.
For parents who have questions on how to approach their teens or don't know where to start, visit FamilyTalkAboutDrinking.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now, for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
It's online, your smartphone, Blog Talk Radio, over 270 markets across this country of ours and around the world via shortwave. Just make sure you join in on the good fight to get this country back on track. I'm Bill Martinez. We're live. Bill Still is with us, former newspaper editor and publisher, best-selling author, award-winning documentary writer and director. And we're talking about his documentaries and trying to get some understanding here on the Fed. And another thing I wanted to talk to you about, Bill, was about JFK. It's been rumored for many years that one of the things that got JFK in trouble was he wanted to get involved with the monetary system and some say go back to the gold standard. And this got him in trouble. What's your understanding on that?
No, these people, JFK issued an executive order, 11110, and it has nothing to do with the gold standard. It has nothing to do with ending the Fed. It had only to do with transferring the power to issue silver certificates over from the president to the Secretary of Treasury. And the reason they were doing that was that at that time, which I believe was 1963, the price of silver had risen to above $1 an ounce, and so they could no longer afford to have notes, dollar bills, silver certificates, because the amount of silver they could be exchanged for would be more than the face value of the notes. So they were just ending that, basically. It had nothing to do with these other things. And every place I go, every place I speak, this question comes up. Oh, Kennedy was killed because of this. No, not at all. Kennedy was killed because he backstabbed the CIA at the Bay of Pigs. And then Bobby went after the mafia in Chicago, and it was the Chicago mafia that put JFK in the presidency by holding back their vote late on election night.
Exactly.
So that's it.
Well, you also have the fact that, Kennedy went after, the drug running that was going on in Vietnam, and he put a quash on that, and the CIA wasn't real happy about, their slush fund that, which was also reported. Did you understand any of that to happen, Bill?
Yeah, but I mean the major factor was the Bay of Pigs.
Yes, right.
That really got them riled up, and that's what got all the Texans riled up, and JFK, LBJ, and all that. I mean, he messed with two people, the intelligence community and the mafia, and that was a pretty bad combination at that point to make mad.
Yeah, it was definitely lethal, no doubt about it. Well, Bill, you know, let's talk about Donald Trump. I understand that a couple of his advisors have been, ringing your and dialing your digits and saying, okay, help us out here maybe, huh?
Yeah, they asked for how I would approach the problem in his first 100 days. And so basically what you've got to do is get out of the debt money system. And you can do that very simply. Basically, the debt are bonds that are sold into the marketplace. They're sold to your mother. They're sold to your pension fund. They're sold all around the world. But over 50% of them are bought by banks and related financial institutions. So as these bonds come due, you wouldn't have to give them a haircut, in other words, not pay them the full value. Mm-hmm. You would just repay them with U.S. notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. U.S. notes are the longest form of currency ever in existence in American history. They weren't killed off until 1994 with the Regal Act. And so now Federal Reserve notes are the only form of paper money in the country. But if you go back to U.S. notes, what's the difference? Well, the U.S. note has a red seal on the face of it. The Federal Reserve note has a green seal. So you can tell them instantly, but it also says U.S. note at the top or Federal Reserve note at the top. But mm-hmm. the Federal Reserve note is created as an interest-bearing debt in this debt money system created by banks. The U.S. note is literally state money issued by the United States government. They get the seniorage. They get to control the quantity just the way the Constitution calls for it. So as these bonds come due, you pay them off with U.S. notes and you extinguish the Federal Reserve notes. So it doesn't increase the quantity of money. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, about 50% of the national debt is financed at 3 years or less bonds. So literally, 3 years after implementation, you could pay off 50% of the national debt. That would reduce the interest payments right now in the national debt are about $500 billion a year. That would put an extra $250 billion per year back into the economy. You could do a lot of mending the damage that Obama's done in his last 8 years with that amount of money.
Could you imagine us being able to get a handle on it in 4 years? I know some of the propositions with, you know, the penny plan, the congressman out of Florida that had suggested that just reducing the budget by one penny, we could get the budget back in line in 10 years. But we've got to be able to, you know, take care of this debt and attack this principle. Could you imagine if we could do this inside of 4 years, Donald Trump would be a hero, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, I would. I mean, he could basically pay off everything but the 10-year notes and the 30-year notes in 2 terms of his presidency. And by then, the economy would start to rebound. So, I mean, within a year, it would start to rebound so dramatically, so significantly that it could not be missed by anybody that this was the cause of it. And if we just get out of the debt money system, why should we borrow our money into existence when we have the constitutional right to create it?
Exactly.
It's insanity.
Right. Well, Bill, Donald Trump, being the businessman that he is, he knows about leverage. And he's kind of thrown this out here that, you know, basically renegotiating the debt, finding a way to do that, which I think is also a possibility. I mean, short of doing what you're suggesting, what you're doing is something that you would think would be pretty academic. But again, you know, I'm only hesitant because we've had a system and a bureaucracy and a well-established 9-dot paradigm that is used to operating off the Federal Reserve.
See, once again, it's used to operating off the debt money system of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Fed.
Yes.
But yeah, well, you know, Donald made a mistake there talking about giving the bondholders a haircut. That is an absolute no-no. The debts of the United States, it must be paid according to the Constitution. That would literally be a tremendous upset to the world monetary system. That's a tremendous mistake that he made.
Mm-hmm. But doing it your way, you know, like you say, within 3 years, because it has to be paid in 3 years, we could turn this thing around pretty quick. That, not to mention the fact that Trump understands business and we get some of these burdensome regulations, including Obamacare, out of the way, America you know, we could be on the fast track to greatness once again, couldn't we?
Oh yeah, Obamacare is going to kill the country if nothing else does. So it has to be a two-pronged attack. You have to eliminate the debt money system by gradually paying off the bonds as they come due with U.S. notes instead of Federal Reserve notes, and you've got to radically change the whole medical system, which means you've got to attack some of the greatest, some of the wealthiest lobbying groups in the country, basically the drug companies and the hospital companies. They've got to return to some semblance of sanity in their charging, or else the economy's going nowhere no matter what you do.
Well, the other issue, and George W. tried to attack this issue, and they all but tarred and feathered him, was tort reform when it came to malpractice insurance.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that that is that big a percentage of the economy where the medical costs are really the big factor, the driving factor in the economy.
So you don't think the legal fees are playing that big a role in it?
Well, they might be. I can't speak to it. I don't know what the sum total is. I just know it's small by comparison.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I've spoken with many doctors, and in fact, Alita Leck and her husband have an operation that they do basically just to help out the local community, and just for them to get a by virtue of them getting a relief on malpractice insurance, they're able to provide thousands of people in services in their local community for like $15 a visit.
Well, so that's not going to do anything for drug costs, which is probably the biggest expenditure of them all. That's not going to do anything for hospital costs. I mean, it'll allow doctors to treat people for stuff for minimal costs that they wouldn't be able to do previously, and that's going to, I assume, cause fewer hospital visits. I don't know. I've not seen this proposal. I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I agree. What you're looking at are the bigger. You know, I was pivoting off what you said in terms of a comprehensive approach to healthcare. I think that was one of the issues that wasn't addressed. And of course, unfortunately, Obamacare, because it was a one-party policy, placement on all of our pumpkin heads. I mean, we're paying a big price on it. You know, you got most of the co-ops now underwater or out of business, and it doesn't fare well for that for those co-ops that are remaining. And the reality is people are starting to see what they were warned about, and that is that premiums are not going to go down; they're going to go up. The doctors that you expected to have, you're not going to have those, and we're probably not that far away when we actually start realizing the death panels that we were warned about are alive and well and operational within the Obamacare system.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying we can't do it all by monetary reform, because on the other end, unless we're going to print money to pay for this stuff, which you can't do,
right?
You've got to have some sort of spending reform, and the biggest spending thing that you can fix is the medical system. And if you want to throw in litigation relief into that, I'm perfectly happy to throw that in the basket.
Well, Bill, it's an exciting time in which we live in as history continues to unveil. And here we are between Hillary and Donald Trump. The choice is quite clear, you know, for the Republicans that have been asking for a clear contrast. Guess what? You got one now for 2016, don't you?
Yeah, they've been begging for a Republican candidate to come along that could broaden the base, make the tent bigger. And here they've got him. And what do? They start bitching because it's going to upset what's essentially a bribery racket going on in the Congress now that's thoroughly entrenched.
Exactly. Well, Bill Still, former newspaper editor and publisher, best-selling author, award-winning documentary writer, director, thank you so much for being with us, Bill.
Thank you.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer
repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks on Site for friendly, certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
I'm Nick Sobel.